Chase for Business and iHeart bring you a new podcast series called The Unshakeables. This one-of-a-kind series will shine the spotlight on small business owners like you, who faced a do-or-die moment that ultimately made their business what it is today. Learn more at chase.com/business/podcast. Chase, make more of what's yours. Chase mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JP Morgan Chase, NA member FDIC, 2024, JP Morgan Chase & Co.
The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is accelerating innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count for your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hey, it's Jane Marie. We're releasing four bonus episodes from season one for the next couple of weeks. They're about MLMs, again, some of your faves, the Ugly Banana Leggings Company, for one, and another one that's sort of like a cult. If you want to unlock all of the bonus episodes right now, you can go to stitcherpremium.com and sign up for a free trial with the code DREAM. You'll get access to all four bonus episodes today and a free month of listening without ads in Stitcher. And you'll also be supporting our show. That's stitcherpremium.com and sign up with the code DREAM to listen to everything today. Otherwise, you gotta wait over the next 4 weeks. Thanks. After talking to Haley, I was dying to know more about the founders of LuLaRoe because, as you may remember from previous episodes, the people who start MLMs are typically odd characters. So Haley pointed me to her colleague, Anya Kane, at Business Insider, who's looking into the cult of personality around the owners of LuLaRoe.
I've been researching a bit on the two founders, a married couple named Mark and Deanne Stidham, and they're pretty interesting.
Tell me all about them. Tell me everything you know.
Oh, gosh. Well, there's a lot. I definitely know a lot more about Deanne. Of course, she is the founder. She's kind of has a pretty interesting origin story. She was the 10th of 11 children. She has a twin sister who's named Diane, who's younger than her. Her parents, Albert and Maureen Startup, were two devoted Mormon parents. They ran a catering company, actually.
Their last name is Startup?
Their last name is Startup. Her maiden name is Startup. So she's Deanne Startup Stidham.
Wow.
Yeah. Everything's very on the nose with this story.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they were raised in a big household. The kids grew up actually helping the parents out with their catering business. And Deanne also eventually got a job at her mother's bridal shop. So it was kind of very entrepreneurial family. One interesting thing about her mother, Maureen, is that Maureen had a bit of a side hustle trying to fight against the Equal Rights Amendment, which was happening in the 70s. Yes. Yes. Well, she was the head of the California delegation of the Stop ERA committee. She's interviewed in the Los Angeles Times in the 70s talking about how the amendment will cause women to be drafted and will hurt women in terms of child custody cases. So this was pretty important to her. I actually have a bit of an excerpt from a book she wrote with her husband on femininity. Sorry, I'm like rustling papers. This is from The Secret Power of Femininity by Albert and Maureen Startup. So here we go. Stand before a mirror in the privacy of your room and say to yourself, I am just a helpless woman at the mercy of you big, strong men. Stand before a mirror and say to yourself, I expect you to pamper and humor me. With this in mind, try a pretty pout, stick out your lower lip as much as to say, I thought you liked me. Or stamp your feet daintily, saucily, and shake your curls as much as to say, I am furious, but what can a little girl like me do with a big, strong man like you?
Wait, is this the, like, what? Is it in the don'ts chapter? Where is this from?
No, this is kind of, so her and Maureen and her husband, Albert, kind of had the thesis of demonstrating that you can, quote, kill your own snakes when you're a woman. Kill your own snakes, meaning like solve your own problems, I suppose.
Kind
of a turnoff. Yeah, kill your own snakes. If you're a woman and you can kill your own snakes, men will not be attracted to you.
Oh.
So you kind of want to be a little bit of a, you know, little girl and show that, no, you need help. You need help opening the pickle jar, or you need to stand in front of a mirror and, you know, pout saucily and do all that kind of thing.
I'm going to stop on you right now because I had to get my hands on this book, and my hands are currently on this book, The Secret Power of Femininity. The book opens with a nice family portrait that looks like my worst nightmare, two old people with 10 children in front of them on a couch. And two of those children are tiny babies. And one of those tiny babies is Deanne. Anyways, the book is all about how to get somebody to marry you. And on top of what Anya read from, I'm going to read a little more of it. Nature impels girls to progress unconsciously by the same principles and methods that the salesman and the preacher follow deliberately. These girls, as nature's favored ones, follow feminine instincts, doing the right thing at the right time, and every man they pass is a girl watcher, recognizing them as whistle bait. And then there's a lot of lists throughout the book. This one is how to emphasize your own girlishness. You are to make yourself somebody's pampered darling. You are constantly to bring out and emphasize the contrast between your tenderness and the man's strength. You are to imitate, by action and word, how much you, as a frail woman, must depend upon their power, bravery, and chivalry. You are to observe the women wherever you find them who have the quality of femininity. You are to practice every art of manner, voice, dress, and action which you have observed in these winsome women. Now, they said something about voice, which I'm taking a little personally, but don't worry. They have a whole page on that. Your voice can make or break you. So these are the people who raised the woman who owns LuLaRoe.
That's correct. And, they kind of went further than just doing political activism and also writing this book. As a couple, they would host femininity forums in the LA area where they would teach women these kind of tips on attracting men by maybe being more submissive.
Go on. Did you pay to go to them? Were they like seminars? What were they?
Yeah, you paid, don't quote me on this because I'm not sure the exact amount, but it might have been $250 a head. And I think that got you multiple seminars. So you're essentially almost paying for like a college course, but it's about, you know, shaking your curls and stamping your feet to get men. yeah, pretty
amazing.
Yeah, it's kind of wild. So they kind of were able to monetize this backlash against the rise of feminism in mainstream culture. Mm-hmm. Wasn't just a political thing. It was also a business. So that is who raised Deanne Startup Stidham, the founder of LuLaRoe.
Fascinating. I mean, they remind me of like literally every owner of the MLMs that we covered in season one. Like so much, like mixing politics and these seminars and self-help and all of that stuff. So, okay, that's her family.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to them? Did they win? Just kidding. Did they win the fight?
Oh, yes. Interestingly enough, Deanne and her sister Diane had a double wedding. They married two cousins. Those were their first husbands in the Salt Lake City Mormon church.
Wait, this is not her first marriage then?
Yeah, Mark is her second husband. We don't really know a ton about her first husband. He remarried. They both then found someone else. That's kind of where Mark comes in the picture. As far as who he was before LuLaRoe, he really isn't the face of LuLaRoe, even though he does hold the title of CEO. So we don't really hear as much from Mark about where he came from. One thing I was able to find out, though, from public records is that he had a company called Chino Homes LLC that was real estate development. It was in the real estate development in Chino, California, founded in 2000. And the guy who's also listed as an officer of the company went to jail for starting a Ponzi scheme that unraveled when the markets crashed in 2008. So that was kind of interesting. His name's Aldo Bacala. Yeah, it's Kamala Harris, the current presidential candidate, sent him to jail, basically. She was the prosecutor on that case.
Wow. So we've got Mark Stidham, business partner to a guy who went to prison for a Ponzi scheme. Mm-hmm. We've got Deanne Startup, whose parents were anti-feminist activists.
And yeah, together they founded LuLaRoe around 2012. And Mark is the CEO. Deanne, I guess, is the president technically. And they've grown it to what it is today.
Can you talk about their origin story for the company?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. Their origin story that the founders put out there is pretty well crafted, I would say. Basically, Deanne talks a lot about being a single mom, raising seven children, and always kind of trying to start up her own clothing business. She talks about her daughter requesting that she makes her this long maxi dress that was the style at the time.
Actually, according to Deanne, it was a maxi skirt, not dress. She makes it, her daughter wears it to school and posts a photo on Instagram, and suddenly orders are pouring in, or so they say.
The way she kind of talks about it is that it didn't really click until she started adopting the house party model where she's bringing it to other women and encouraging them to sell. So basically, it didn't click until it became a multi-level marketing company.
Early on, Deanne amassed a huge following online and interacted a lot with fans and consultants. She'd chat with people in the comments. She even gave out her cell phone number. And for a while, Deanne was a star. She began acting like some stars do on Instagram and Facebook, you know, just showing off her wealth, her many tropical vacations, her horses, her private jet.
They do have and it's nice. They've got snacks. I've seen photos of inside it. It's pretty swanky.
It's like a G5 or a G6 or something, right?
Yeah, it's a G5. It's pretty fancy. That is registered to a LLC based in Delaware. You know, social media giveth and social media taketh away, where it's a situation where the way that they were able to build up their following and their company through social media is also giving fuel to folks who really do want to, I believe, take them down in a certain way, or at least see them held accountable for what they say is a lot of financial malfeasance and, you know, potentially, I mean, what accusers are saying is that they're saying they're running a pyramid scheme and that they're hiding money in a bunch of shell companies at this point. So it's kind of very polarizing for them on social media right now, I imagine. And Mark, I think, is more, he's not as public a figure as his wife. But in one area, he is quite public, and that's the world of high-speed luxury cars. They're called Koenigseggs. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. I'm terrible, but it's this cool black and red looking thing. Its name is Ruthie, apparently. And Mark.
Wait, the model name or his nickname for
it? Oh no, he named it Ruthie.
No, they all have these Norse mythology names. You know, it's Thor, it's Ragnarok, it's, you know, Vader. And they go, Mark, what's the name of your car? I go, it doesn't have a name. It's got to have a name. I go, great, it's Ruthie.
So Ruthie broke the speed record for a model car at some point. And it was kind of an interesting way in which it did that. Mark and his friends, who were also Koenigsegg owners and I guess had some connections, they got a bunch of the highway from in Nevada toward Las Vegas shut down for a day.
What?
And they were able to get a guy in a race car, you know, this professional race car driver to drive Ruthie down the road and break the record. So
how much did they have to pay to do that?
It must have been pretty sizable or some favors were called in, because that seems, I've never heard of that happening, except for maybe like a movie or something. But I mean, I just imagine there were some like random international tourists like sitting there in traffic being like, what on earth is going on?
Okay, so these cars, like, he shows them off a lot, and they're worth millions of dollars, some of them, yes?
Mm-hmm, yes. I think what drives a lot of Mark and Deanne's social media postings, it seems, is they see it as kind of two people celebrating what hard work and ingenuity have earned them. And they see it as a motivator where they're like, wow, you know, a cruise and trips around the world and a private jet and a ranch with all these beautiful horses named Moana and like Misty, and they want that, and those are two of their horses' names, by the way. People see that and they want that, and they don't begrudge them for having it.
Even though they know that they owe a bunch of money to their manufacturer and that they, you know, don't fulfill orders sometimes and that they owe, you know, distributors a ton of money at this point. Like, how do they set that aside?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think one thing that I see a lot on social media when people are commenting about this or people are arguing with one another in the comments is that, these are just normal hiccups for a business. Mm. You know, most businesses get sued. Most businesses, mess up
really?
Sometimes.
Yeah, most businesses get sued, is what they're saying?
I mean, I don't think most businesses get accused of being a pyramid scheme, which is what the Washington Attorney General is saying about LuLaRoe. But people kind of write it off as almost, you know, sometimes people are haters and, you know, they want to sue you.
Yeah.
And I think, how do I say this without sounding, I guess... You know, when people see something that they really want to believe in, there's a level of defensiveness towards any sort of perceived attack. From what people have described to me about LuLaRoe events where Mark and Deanne are present, or just Deanne is present, there's really a lot of pomp and circumstance around them. People are lining up to say hi to them on the cruise. And I know this was one story I wrote about Deanne's 60th birthday party. They had it at a very fancy California Mission Inn. And people were holding like cardboard cutouts of like a cartoon version of her face. And
what?
Yeah, it was pretty. And like, you know, you could say, well, you know, it was her birthday party. People were just getting nuts. But I know a lot of people on social media were commenting on how strange that was. One other kind of funny aspect of the company culture that one other employee told me was that she showed up for one of, I think she was only kind of a couple weeks into the job, and she shows up in her kind of luxury Chanel outfit, and, you know, she's kind of walking around the hallways rocking it, and she runs into Deanne, who she says kind of looked at her really sternly and kind of gave her a once-over and was like, that's not LuLaRoe. She was like, no, it's Chanel.
Oh, no.
And then Deanne essentially, you know, she claims made her come with her to the warehouse where they have all their product and change into LuLaRoe.
Especially if you're a fan of Chanel, you are not a fan of LuLaRoe.
They're quite different brands. Haley and I always have this kind of joke where we say, like, if, you know, because we sometimes were debating, is this newsworthy, this report on LuLaRoe? And then we think, at one point, this was a $2 billion business, or at least so they claimed. If most $2 billion businesses had their CEOs going on social media telling people to protect them and to stop the haters and the trolls, that would definitely be news. Like, if Tim Cook was doing that, you know, right, stop the haters and trolls of the iPhone, you know, that would be pretty interesting.
Next time on The Dream.
As the Nexium people would describe it, basically a way to save the world. You're not just improving yourself, you are going to help everyone on the planet live better and improve the whole world. And one of the ways you do that is by controlling the assets of as much assets as you could possibly control.
The Dream is a production of Little Everywhere and Stitcher, written and reported by me, Jane Marie, and Dan Gallucci, with help from Lyra Smith. We're edited by Peter Clowney. Our executive producers are Chris Bannon, Dan Gallucci, and me. We have a brand new season coming out in a few months, so don't forget to subscribe. And we also appreciate you rating and reviewing the podcast anywhere you listen.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.